Hi folks, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the latest instalment of the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Three tournaments to look back on last week and three tournaments to get stuck into, including the World Match Play. Looking forward to seeing who Steve fancies there. First of all, Steve, in good form?
Yes. An abysmal tipping performance last week. Worst week of the year, but... The one thing I did get right was telling people maybe to have the week off the golf bet. I wanted people to concentrate on the horses because those tournaments look so difficult, and I sure made them look difficult. Concentrate on the horses?
Mostly I did, yeah. I must admit, it's probably the week when I watched the least amount of golf. And I actually did follow your advice and bet very, very sensibly. So I was pleased about that. Did they cancel the haircut then?
No, they didn't cancel the haircut.
It's still pretty tall, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I obviously go into a new one. This was a new barber, and I needed to alert him to the. I've got a bald patch right in the centre of my head, and I made it clear that he needed to be careful around that. So yeah, he was a bit cautious on the top.
He wasn't he?
Side of back. So I didn't want the bald patch to be revealed. But yeah, this was just going to get my son done, really. And he was cool.
How did he come? Did he like it?
It was brilliant. I don't think I was needed there, really. You know, my job was just to keep him relaxed and. For his first haircut, but he loved the game.
Oh, so, brilliant. That's good. Okay, well, we'll skim through last week. Obviously, as you say, Steve, the tips weren't fantastic this week, but these things do happen. Golf is a difficult sport to find winners on because it's so wide open. Some pretty shock winners. Well done if you did find any. Let's start with Taylor Moore in America. He won it was an exciting finish. Him, Spieth and Schenk going hard at it down the stretch. And Taylor Moore, I think it was about 70-1. Tell us about him, Steve, because I looked at in the lovely new comments that we have in the Racing Post. I think you didn't poo-poo his chances, did you?
He's a 29-year-old Texas lad. Yeah. He's had a few injury issues. He had a collapsed lung early in his career, which are obviously very unhelpful. He won on the Canadian Tour in 2016. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2021 and now a PGA Tour champion. Yeah, he looks a decent player. I think he will win further events.
What's he good at? Just golf?
Ball striking. Ball striking. Yeah, he said he fancied it last week because the Valspar is a fairways and greens test. And he's a very consistent ball striker.
Yeah, I was reading about the lung issue. I mean, it's amazing how many golfers have these problems, isn't it? I mean, I'm really into the full swing now. I'm loving it. It's absolutely superb. And I watched the Joel Damon one and what he's had to go through there with his testicular cancer, and he lost his mum to cancer when he was young. You know, we kind of think of them as these pampered millionaires who have fantastic upbringings and nothing ever goes wrong, but it's not true, is it? And I love the Joel Damon episode. That was brilliant. Oh,
yeah, he's top man, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, if you or I had a collapsed lung, we wouldn't be PGA Tour champions, would we? We'd just capitulate from there. I remember Bryce Mulder had something similar.
He's got some sort of, I think his is like a permanent issue, isn't it? His chest, there's something structurally wrong with his like skeleton, I think.
Yeah, that's right. These things happen. And just shows good mental strength if they get through these things.
The bookies were very pleased to see Jordan Spieth fail to win. He hoiked it into the water at 16. I like this guy Schenk, the shot he played left-handed on 18 from behind the tree. That was something else, wasn't it?
You had to feel for him, didn't you, when it was went up against the tree, because he was in great position until then. Yeah, what an unfortunate surname for a golfer as well. You know, Adam Schenk.
Is it Schenk or Schenk?
Well, it is Schenk. Yeah, it's very similar to Schenk, isn't it?
There's one word
you don't even named after. It's that, isn't it? He was plucky as they come, and I was pretty gutted for the Schenker, actually. I've warmed to him. I really liked his interview afterwards. He seems a top man.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, I liked him.
No, the bookies would be delighted with how everything went really last week.
Well, yeah, they love the SDC Championship won by Matthew Baldwin, 37-year-old journeyman who was 150-1. I don't know if anyone managed to back him, but he made a mockery of it, didn't he?
He did. I mean, he won on the Challenge Tour in 2011. So 12 years after that, almost 12 years after that, he's made his DP World Tour breakthrough. He's a Southport lad. So he almost had the Southport double on Sunday. Tommy Fleetwood, of course, was in contention in the Valspar. I mean, yeah, very difficult to find. The only thing you could say is that windy forecast suited him. You know, he's grown up playing windswept links tracks. You know, he was very comfortable in those conditions.
And then the Live Golf, that was quite an exciting finish down in Tucson, four-way go, and Danny Lee emerged victorious. I guess he would have been a big price, wouldn't he, at the outset?
80-1 was available, I believe. Yeah, Danny Lee, a great underachiever. When he first burst onto the scene, yeah, I was really excited about Danny Lee. He's had lots of injury issues, and he's had some nightmares with his putting. You know, there's been, you know, there's viral videos out there of him five putting and stuff. But he's always been a top-class ball striker, and he switched to the broom-handled putter, and he's putting a bit more consistently now. And it was Kevin Na that inspired this switch. He's good friends with Kevin Na. Kevin Na rang him up and said, "Look, Danny, come and play for the Ironheads," because Na is the captain of the Ironheads, and you know, he convinced that Lee to do it because he liked the look of the schedule. There's a few places that, you know, they're going to the Greenbrier, where Danny Lee won his only PGA Tour event. So for many reasons, mostly the fortunes, Danny Lee went. But yeah, Live Golf, yeah, we must discuss Live Golf. I'm less confident than I've ever been, Bruce, that it's going to survive, actually. I think the viewing figures are terrible. Like last week, they keep comparing it to World's Funniest Animals, because it's on the same channel as in America, as they show World's Funniest Animals. And every time there's a live event, they compare it to World's Funniest. And the ratings for World's Funniest Animals are just killing Live Golf.
They're going to, then. I mean, crumbs. I mean, what's going to be more engaging to people? I don't know, a skunk foraging around in someone's bin, or, you know, or a load of millionaire golfers you've never really heard of slugging it out. Yeah, I'm not surprised about that. It's not really a like for like comparison, is it, to be fair?
No, but I think it's the top players are not performing this year. I think the novelty has worn off of the top players. I talked about Dustin Johnson being out of condition when he returned for the first live event this year. He looked a bit tubby. And Cameron Smith, of all people, looked out of condition last week. He had a little muffin top creeping over the top of his belt.
Well, you say of all people, I mean, it's hardly like he's one of those guys who looks like he's normally down the gymnasium pumping iron every week, is it? I mean, you know, I know he's young, but I'm not kind of surprised that he's not, you know, too fussed about the old waistline.
Well, I always had him down as got a skinny chap, but yeah, he had the muffin top belly going there. I think they're just earning too much money. They've got too much time on their hands. They're eating too much. Not playing enough golf to burn the calories off.
And they Yeah, but the other thing is, of course, they're not really getting any new defectors, are they? You know, they had that early sort of, obviously, in the first year they signed up probably, I guess they would have looked at the end of first year and said, we've done pretty well. We've got some major winners and some household names. But it hasn't really continued, has it? Now, maybe the enhanced or the elevated events on the PGA Tour have helped to keep people from going. But I guess what you may find as the season progresses is that some of the sort of PGA stars who maybe are coming to the end of it and don't feel competitive anymore. I'm just trying to think of an example. But, you know, some of those guys might just think, well, actually, do you know what? I might take the money. But as things stand as a product, if they don't get any fresh names come across, you would wonder just how much further what's going to happen to make it really get to where they presumably want it to be.
Because if those gaggle of superstars, all they've got is a gaggle of superstars, if they don't perform and they're not in contention, it's really boring. I mean, yeah, I've been trying to get into Live Golf. Yeah, I've been betting on Live Golf. But last week, I'd say the highlight by far was when a rattlesnake appeared. I mean, there was a large rattlesnake that came onto the cart path as Mark Leishman, who was leading at the time, was walking along it, and they all had to sort of Be careful going around this rattlesnake. And that was the most exciting moment of the tournament.
Almost where World's Craziest Animals meets Live Golf, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. They perhaps need to merge the two to boost the Live Golf viewing figures. But yeah, I maybe have to stop watching it so avidly, yeah, because I like watching it on my phone no matter what I'm doing. And I was bored. Harsh spells last week.
Really? Surely the four-way playoff must have been quite interesting.
But Danny Lee's putt was good. Danny Lee's putt from off the green, that was an exciting moment. I'm glad I watched it, though, for information purposes. I'll let everyone know here, because not many people do watch the Live Golf. Cameron Smith is carrying a wrist injury. Yeah, this was the big news from last week, because he'd be on the radar of a lot of Masters punters. Mm. Yeah, Masters on the horizon. Cameron Smith would be backed by a lot of people. I'd be very, very wary of backing Cameron Smith, because there's a lot of talk about wrist problems last week, and they take ages to heal, don't they? So, yeah, you do pick up information on certain players. Yeah, be careful with Cam Smith backers.
Good man, you're so dedicated. Is that it for the review section of the show?
I think it is, yeah. Let's onwards and upwards.
Okay, well, before we get stuck into this week's three tournaments, a quick message just to remind you to, what should people do, Steve?
Rate, review, subscribe, rave.
No, it's like, comment, share and subscribe. You got one out of four, not bad. If people can find a way of doing the other things, then fine. Right then, we'll start with the World Match Play. Who sponsored this year? Is it Dell?
It's Dell, and it's the last Dell, one. The rumours are rife. I mean, this will be the last one, I think, because the designated elevated events have taken over and the WGCs have been phased out.
Oh, what? So we won't even be having the match play, or the chief exec of Dell has decided not to sponsor it?
No. There is no match play, I don't think. This is the last hurrah, so enjoy it while you can.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's not everyone's cup of tea, because it's certainly different. Steve will take us through the format, but here are some indicative prices. Scotty Scheffler, 17-2. John Rahm, 11. Rory McIlroy, 14. Patrick Cantlay, 18. Colin Morikawa, 22. Victor Hovland, 25. Oh, we've got a couple out of order here. Schauffele, Spieth and Homer, 22. So's Hatton, so's Finau. Sungjae, 30. Zalatoris, 35. 30 day, 40 bar. Right then, Steve. Is it the top 64 group stage and then knockout? Just run us through the format, if you would.
Yeah, it's a complicated business. 64-man field chasing the first prize of $3.6 million. We've gone elevated for this last one.
Is it an earlier start? Is it a Wednesday start? Or
we can't stress that enough. Go on, start. Yeah. Better start the first stressing.
Okay.
Yeah, so Wednesday afternoon start, approximately 2:15 p.m. UK time.
Okay, so don't dilly-dally with your wages.
Don't dilly-dally with your wages. Don't back Justin Thomas because he's not in it. He's the only member of the elite who's not entered. He doesn't like the golf. Yeah, he doesn't like the golf course. I mean, he must have one now. He's turning his nose up at $3.6 million check because he doesn't like golf. Yeah, it shows. I don't know what it shows, but he's freshening himself up for the Masters, I suppose.
Okay.
But yeah, he's not there. So we've got a round robin format in the opening stage. 16 groups of four, 3 days of group combat. Only the group winners progress. Then we've got last 16 and quarterfinals on Saturday, semi-finals and final on Sunday. And we're at Austin Country Club, Austin, Texas. It's hosted since 2016. 7,108 yards, par 71, three par fives. Cloudy and breezy for the first 3 days, then sunnier and calmer at the weekend.
Seven rounds in 5 days. And although although the format does sort of lend itself to slightly more randomness in the same way that, say, the FA Cup should be more random than the Premier League, does the cream tend to rise to the top, or is the roll of honour littered with big names?
More recently, the cream has been rising to the top, yeah. So, it's an event that we can bet with. We can't bet with huge amounts of confidence, but we should have a bet.
Okay, fine. How many selections have you got?
I've only got two.
Two, right then. Who do you like the most?
I think at the prices, I like Colin Morikawa the most, 22-1. Two Americans have contested each of the last four WGC match play finals. I'm going for two Americans this week. They can't meet in the final because they're on the same side of the draw, but they can't meet until the semi-finals. And bookmakers each way terms this week, a quarter the first four. So we're going to get paid out on both of these bets.
It's everyone doing that. I mean, there's nothing to stop. Some bookmakers do a fifth the eight in some tournaments. I would have thought that would have worked for this because you get quarterfinals. But anyway, it's quarter the four, is it?
Yeah, I think there's options out there, but the standard's quarter the four. Okay. And if we back these two Americans, we can get paid out on both, even though they're likely to meet in the semi-finals. And the key to success in this tournament for me is finding greens in regulation, wearing down your opponent, churning out greens in regulation. Yeah, players who make loads of long game errors can give holes away in a flash, one bad shot and they lose the hole. I like the players who keep the pressure on their opponent, jab, 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 bosh. You know, Morikawa is perfect for that jabbing role. You know, he's always prominent in the greens and regulation statistics. He's the best iron player in the world, in my opinion. He's getting back to that level that made him a two-time major champion. We had a cold putter at Sawgrass, but he was thrilled with his swing. He says he's swinging better than ever. They're big words for a player of his ball striking class. Any week that Morikawa puts to tour average standard, I think he's going to contend this year. And he's going to be really, really difficult opponent for anyone this week. I like his draw. You know,
what Jason bracket's Day. In? Sam Snead?
I'm not sure. But, a lot of people looking at his draw thinking it's a tricky one. But, yeah, Jason Day's become so popular with punters. You know, everyone loves backing Jason Day again now. He's made a decent start to the year. He's got a great record in this event. But, you know, Jason Day was winning this in his pomp. You know, it's been ages since he's won an event. And it's been ages since I've backed him. And I just think that Jason Day fan club is keeping the Morikawa price big this week. You know, 22-1 is a juicy price. You know, Victor Perez and Adam Svensson, the other two members of the group. So I think Morikawa will beat them all. He's only played in this event twice. He's only 26. We forget how young Morikawa is and how little experience. He's building match play experience. He made his Ryder Cup debut in 2021. He tied with Victor Hovland in the singles, and he made his President's Cup debut last year, thrashed Maito Pereira. So I think he's ready to win top class match play event now. He won his group last year.
Okay. I mean, I suppose the only nagging doubt with Morikawa is that his putter can go hideously cold, can't it?
For sure. But that greens and regulation class means that, yeah,
he's only got to putt adequately.
Yeah, you're not going to beat Morikawa with pars. You know, you know what I mean? I just think he's going to wear down opponents. Yeah, I used to think putting was all important in this tournament. As years have gone by, I've realised it's about churning out greens and regulation.
And I suppose this is the one tournament where commentators are allowed to say it's a match play situation. but in that situation, when he is just finding greens the whole time, I suppose it does force his opponent to go flag hunting sometimes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Colin Morikawa is playing really well. He can go deep in this comp.
Jolly good. Who's the other tip?
18-1, Patrick Cantlay. Being well back this week, understandable. Similar profile to Morikawa in terms of gaining that top level match play experience over the last few years. Cantlay made his Ryder Cup debut in 2021 as well. He beat Shane Lowry 4-3 in the singles. He's played in two President's Cups. He beat Wacom Neiman in the 2019 singles, and he beat Adam Scott in the 2022 singles. You know, currently a fearsome match play opponent. He's got no weaknesses. He's a serious character. He's focused. He's combative.
Just tell me this. I'm halfway through. I'm episode 4 of 8 of Sweet Spot. There isn't a Patrick Cantlay episode, is there? We've had a Justin Thomas one, a Brooks Koepka one, an Ian Poulter one, and a Joel Damon one. Please tell me there isn't a Patrick Cantlay one. I mean, he's absolutely devoid of charisma, isn't he?
He didn't fancy the job, I don't think. There were certain players that ruled themselves out of it, and he was one of them. Have you ever done the Tony Finau one yet?
No, not yet. No, I've got Finau to come. And Fitzpatrick, apparently. That's meant to be good.
Finau's the best. Yeah, Finau and Fitzpatrick are the best ones. They're feel-good ones. You want to feel good when you watch something like that, don't you?
Would you have let Netflix into your realm if you'd been... mind you, you've done a documentary, of course, haven't you? A warts and all documentary. So the answer to that is very much yes.
Yeah, there's no secrets in my realm. But Finau and Fitzpatrick, yeah, you'll be in love with Tony Finau by the end of it. My wife's favourite golfers are Tony Finau and Scottie Scheffler, purely from how they've come across on the full swing.
That was amazing, by the way, wasn't it? When Scheffler's setting off for the last round of the Masters and his caddy says, I've got two things to say to you. One, just, you know, keep grinding. Don't let it get you down. Keep finding those fairways. And two, God is in control.
Yeah. That's how the pressure lifts. It's got nothing to do with you. Don't matter what you do. If God doesn't fancy you winning this today, you're not going to win it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yes, right. We should try and get in that mindset.
Have you finished your case with Cantlay, or is there any icing?
No. I've got more to say. I've got a lot, because he's just been so unlucky on previous visits to Austin Country Club. He's played in this event 4 times. He's finished second in his group 4 times. In 2018, he won 2 matches, lost to Cameron Smith, edged out by 0.5 in the group. In 2019, he got Tiger Woods in his group, finished second in the group to Tiger. In 2021, he lost a sudden death playoff. Then last year, he was 0.5 short again. So Cantlay's won loads of matches at Austin, but never got out of the group. This time, he's going deep because I love his draw. Nick Taylor, Brian Harman, KH Lee. Cantlay is different gravy to his group stage opponents. you know, as a FedEx Cup champion, seven-time PGA Tour champion. He's playing great golf, third at Riviera, fourth at Bay Hill, 19th at Sawgrass. So, yeah, I'm anticipating a Morikawa-Cantlay semi-final. And I think that the tournament winner will come from that. But it's nothing to do with us. God will decide.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, good. We're all done with that torn?
I think we're all done with that torn. I dissuade punters from backing the top three. I mean, every designated elevated event, we have to discuss the big three. As they're known, Scottie Scheffler's got a tough draw, you know, 8-1, tough draw. Tom Kim, Davis Riley, Alex Noren, you know, is not straightforward to progress from that draw. John Rahm has got a horrific draw. You know, Ricky Fowler, a resurgent Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel, former champion in this event, Keith Mitchell in the form of his life. Rahm could lose all three matches, 11-1, not for me. Rory McIlroy's got a good group, but then he's drawn to play Tyrrell Hatton in round two, so... Yeah. I'd avoid the big names.
Okay, mate. Excellent. Right. I'm looking forward to the Corrales Punta Cana Championship because my new favourite golfer is very prominent in the betting here. Wyndham Clark, 10-1 favourite. Good old Joel Damon. Come on, Joel. This is your week. He's 18-1. And then we've got 20-1 for Thomas Detry. The 22-1 shots are Matt Wallace and Taylor Pendrith. Ben Martin's 25s along with Akshay Bhatia. Tyler Duncan, 28. Eric Van Rooyen, 28. So's Nikolai Højgaard, and it's 30 bar. So it's a kind of very much a lower quality event, a bit of a fusion of PGA Tour also-rans and a few stars from the European Tour. Tell us all about it, Steve, before we get the tip.
Corrales Golf Course, Punta Cana Resort and Club, Dominican Republic, 7,670 yards, par 72, four par fives. Hosted since 2016, we had two editions as a Korn Ferry Tour event before it got PGA Tour status in 2018. Only 120 runners, sunny and breezy all week.
Nice. Okie dokie, how many selections have you got?
Three.
Right, lead on then with your principal fancy.
It's Thomas Detry at 20-1. For whom this event could soon become a home game. He's a PGA Tour star now. He got his card last year. Therefore, he needs a base in or around America. And the Dominican Republic looks like being his choice. He said that in an interview I watched earlier this year. He loves the Punta Cana Resort. He's a regular visitor here. He doesn't just come for the tournament. He says this place is his idea of paradise on earth. He's got loads of friends here. It's his favourite tournament of the year. His form figures in the event are 33, 33, 13, 15. This time, he tees up as the highest ranked player in the field. He's the world number 82, and it's a massive chance for a PGA Tour breakthrough. Detry finished second in the Bermuda Championship earlier this season. This is a similar assignment to this. He did that with JP Fitzgerald as his caddy. That's his favoured bag man, and he's got him alongside him again this week. I liaised with JP yesterday, and he was jetting out of Dublin. I think he must have been over for the Cheltenham Festival, and he was jetting out of Dublin for the Dominican Republic. So I think Detry and Fitzgerald are the dream team this week.
Yeah. Have you been to Punta Cana? I have. It's nice. Very nice. I'm not sure I'd definitely live there, though. I think if I was a US Tour pro, I think I'd go Florida, probably.
Would you? You've been there, have you? Blimey.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Did you set foot on this golf course?
No, I didn't, mate. No. To be honest, I didn't even set foot outside the resort. I just stayed in the resort and then beach. It was lovely.
Nice. You've probably walked past Thomas Detry because he's such a regular there. Yeah, the blonde bombshell.
Would I recognise? I probably wouldn't recognise him, I don't think. I don't know.
The blonde Belgian bombshell.
Is he properly blonde? Like, you know, I don't know. Again, they have a hat on, don't they? I don't think I'd recognise him. But anyway, he's the headline fancy this week. And then you've got two more to supplement that. Who's the first of those?
It's Ben Martin at 28-1, who's found form again in his mid-30s. He won on the PGA Tour in 2014. He won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour prior to that. He was fourth in the 2015 Players' Championship. There was a time when Ben Martin looked to be developing into a major contender. Injuries got in the way of that. He's fought his way back. And last year's Corrales Punta Cana almost ended this long victory drought he's on. He led after 18 holes. He led after 36 holes. He led after 54 holes. He lost the lead on the back nine on Sunday. Then he missed a short putt on the 18th hole, which would have forced a playoff. So it was agonising stuff. He was seriously emotional afterwards in the interview. He couldn't speak. He was so gutted about what happened. But he was 565th in the world rankings going into that event. He's 260th now, and the signs are positive. His last four starts: 13th at Pebble Beach, 5th in the Honda Classic, 54th at Sawgrass, 45th in the Valspar. He was ninth in the 2021 Corrales, second last year. So yeah, I think Martin is going to contend.
Jolly good. And who's the other one?
It's Akshay Bhatia, 35-1 now his best. Yeah, really, really interesting player. Loves playing in the wind. Yeah, he's a creative player. He's a shot maker. He says his creative juices come out in on courses like this, windswept coastal tracks. He made a big impact as an amateur, and he turned professional really early. He was world number 12 amateur, then turned pro at the age of 17. He wanted instant dollar. And at the age of 21 now, he's just turned 21, and he's got himself a PGA Tour card. Second place in the Puerto Rico Open earned him special temporary status. That Puerto Rico form is eye-catching, similar event to this. His one win on the Corn Ferry Tour came in the Bahamas. He was fourth and seventh in two Bahamas events at the start of the year. So this is his sort of venue. Missed the cut by a shot in 2020, but 3 years later on his return, much, much more ready to do damage.
Okay. So I got distracted. There's a magpie threatening to jump on the bird feeder. We can't have that. I might have to go and shoo it away in a minute.
I hate magpies.
Yeah, I've got all the small birds, the blue tits and the coal tits are on there, and there's a magpie lurking. But
I hate magpies because the Dorchester FC are nicknamed the Magpies. I hate that football team. And I also hate magpies because they steal eggs, don't they? Well, they're just scumbags.
Do you know that in Australia, the magpies actually swoop down and attack humans and dogs? They call it the swooping season. They literally do. Like, my son was working in Melbourne, and as a woman came into work one day with like blood cascading from a head wound. And he's like, what happened? And she goes, I got pecked. It's the pecking, swooping season. And
he's like, they got any redeeming features? Have they got any qualities at all? I mean, aren't they just vermin? Shouldn't all magpies be destroyed?
Yeah, they're not nice. And yet we salute them, don't we? And worry about it. Yeah. Poor quality birds, definitely.
Aren't down they? The magpies.
Anyway, he seems to have flown off, so that's good. What about my man Joel Damon then? Well, that chronic lack of self-belief. it's so evident in the programme. It was really endearing, but you do just feel like giving them a bit of a Graham Taylor talking to, like you did with Rob Shepherd that time, don't you?
Well, they're a funny pair, weren't they? The caddy said that he's hit him on occasions. He's hit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was very odd. I mean, they said they behaved like a married couple. The caddy seemed to be genuinely in love with Joel Darman, didn't he?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's like he genuinely...
And yet Lona Darman didn't seem that bothered. She was perfectly happy with that relationship, wasn't she? She was a nice lady as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a lovely lady. Yeah, yeah, he's got a good record of this. He's got every chance. Okay. But just prefer others, yeah.
Jolly good. And the third tournament this week, a very familiar feel to this field. It's pretty much exactly what we had last week and probably the week before, as the very moribund and rather stale European PGA Tour moves on for the Johnson Workwear Open. Jordan Smith, 18-1, as is Adri Arnaus. Juice Loughton, who had an albatross last week at a 530-yard par 5, which he turned into a driver and a wedge. I mean, goodness me. He's 22. Nicholas Norgaard Muller is 25. Julian Brun, 28. Valko Niinarbor, 28. 30 bars, same old faces. Where's the place?
It's the club at Stein City.
Imaginatively named.
Yeah, 7,716 yards, par 72, four par fives, 156 runs going to post. It's a Jack Nicklaus designed track. Generous fairways, large greens, birdie fest. Last year, it staged the Stein City Championship on the DP World Tour, 25 under par won that. We've got gentle breezes forecast this week, so you're going to need to get to 20-something under par to have a chance of winning.
Okay, sorry, I rudely talked over Steve when he was telling us the crucial information that it's in Johannesburg, South Africa, in case you were wondering. Right, then, how many selections we got for this one, Steve? Okay, lead on.
Tristan the Piston Lawrence, 30-1, the highest ranked South African in the field. The Piston was outside the world's top 500 when he won the Joburg Open for us at the end of 2021. He hasn't looked back since.
Can you do it? You must remember that, because I do remember that.
I'm glad you still remember that.
Oh, of course I do.
And in his subsequent 5 DP World Tour events in Africa, he had top 20 finishes, 19-2, 9-8, 13. The 8 came in the Stein City Championship. He carded 4 rounds in the 60s to show a liking for this track. He won his second DP World title at Cranfurthiere in August. Then he completed a hat-trick with South African Open glory just before Christmas. So this is a player grown in confidence, grown in self-belief. Last week, he finished 14th in the STC Championship. I think he's going to contend in his homeland again. He's got a great record in his homeland. He's only 26. He looks a lot older than he is. He's still improving, is Thurston. And he's got nobody to fear in this, as you say, humdrum lineup.
Excellent. Good old Thurston the Piston. He's Steve's headline selection. The main danger is?
Keeping the faith with Valco Nienaber.
He's becoming a little bit Thomas Peters, this chat, mate. Go on, convince me.
Keep the faith. He was worth a dabble at 66-1 last week. Just had a couple of card busters in those strong wins on Thursday. But he was under par on the Friday. Missed the cut by two shots. I wouldn't worry too much about last week. He made an eagle and eight birdies. He's got that scoring power. And there's less scope for card busters on this week's track. Yeah, the length of the course plays into his hands. Wide fairways, trouble-free. He turned up at Stein City last year off a miscut, and he finished 10th in the Stein City Championship. He carded back-to-back weekend 67s. This track is dreamy for Nienaber. He's won on Sunshine Tour. I think he'll threaten a DP World Tour breakthrough on Sunday.
Okay. Third tip.
Tom McGibbon, 40-1. My team stacked with rising stars of the game here. Yeah, Tom McGibbon gets compared to Rory McIlroy because of their Northern Irish roots. Who knows if he's going to be as good as Rory McIlroy? McGibbon has made a similarly promising start to his career, that's for sure. He played well in South Africa as an amateur. He performed well in South Africa on the Challenge Tour last year. And he's played four DP World Tour events in South Africa and finished in the top 20 in all of them. Last week, it looked like that streak was coming to an end. He got blown all over the place in the first round of the STC Championship and opened with a 76. Looked like a miscut. Not on your Nelly. He came home in 29 shots, back nine of 29 in round two. Carded a 65 to make the cut and went on to finish in 18th place. Yeah, I think this is a special talent. Podraig Arrington says that Tom McGibbon is going to win soon. I agree with Podraig Arrington. I think this is an ideal track for him. He's a great driver of the ball, loads of room to attack.
Okay, and who completes the tips? Is it Wynard Dingle? I like that.
It's not Wynard Dingle. You probably would be able to guess this one because it's another one of my keeping the faith jobs.
Right, hang on. Give me a couple of seconds then. Okay. Give me a couple of seconds. Probably Casey Jarvis.
I'm there you go. Well done. Well done. I won't itch my nose. Well, I've got an itchy nose. That's never a good sign, is it? I think that's a bad sign.
Of all the health anxieties I get, itchy noses are way down the list.
Well, done well there. I'm impressed with that. Casey Jarvis, easy to back at 40-1. There's a few outliers, but yeah, it'll settle at a general 40s. It's a staggering statistic. The combined age of my tips this week is 87, you know, an average of less than 22. Lawrence has already won three times. I think Nienaber, McGibbon and Jarvis are going to be big names in golf. They'll win. They're bulging mantelpieces by the end of their careers. Jarvis is only 19. He had a spectacular amateur career. He's already contending for Sunshine Tour titles. He was ninth in the Joburg Open at the end of last year when we were on massive prices. And then last fortnight, 25th in the Kenya Open, 23rd last week in the STC Championship. You know, this course really plays for his strengths. You know, like Nienaber, powerhouse. And he putts well. He's a better putter than Nienaber. We've got to keep the faith with Casey Jarvis.
Okay, well, let's hope the recent trend of old plodders like Campillo and Baldwin winning doesn't continue. So just a quick question from me. I just thought Connor Syme has a potential sort of class edge here. I just wondered, at 40s, would you put me off him?
Not his sort of track. Yeah, I probably wouldn't put you off. Yeah, he likes playing in this country, he's a precise operator, isn't he?
Okay. He needs a fiddly venue, does he?
He does, but having said that, Sean Norris was the winner last week. Sean Norris was the short hitter who actually won the event, and then it was loads of big hitters below him. So I think this is a big hitters track, despite Norris winning.
I'm putting myself officially put off.
No doubt I'll have egg on my itchy nose next week when Connor Syme triumphs.
Yeah. Oh, well, you never know. You can't back them all, can you?
No, you certainly can't. My son needs to learn that because he does think he can back them all. And when watching golf, he says, I've got him, I've got him, I've got him, I've got him. He says, I've got all of them. You know, one day I'll teach him that's not going to work.
You're right. Your face gone all itchy.
It's just, I've got a really itchy face. I'm going to have to look into that. I'm an itchiosaurus. Yeah, itchiosaurus.
Blimey. Should we reiterate?
Yes, I think we should. Okay, we've only got nine tips across three tournaments. Okay. So you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
I do know what you're going to say. We'll get the tips first and then you can suggest a sensible but exotic strategy, if that's possible. Right, WCGC Dell match play.
Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay.
Then we've got the Punta Cana. It's probably got another word in front of it, hasn't it? And where's that bloody thing gone? Hang on. I've gone mad. Where is it? What's it called? The Punta Cana Championship. The Corrales Punta Cana Championship. There you go.
Thomas Detry, Ben Martin, Akshay Bhatia.
And Johnson Workwear Open.
Tristan Lawrence, Valco Nienaber, Tom McGibbon, Casey Jarvis.
Okay. And you know when say Honda or BMW sponsor a tournament and you get hole in one, you win one of their flashiest motors, don't you? What do you think you'll get if you get a hole in one at the Johnson Workwear Open? Some sort of rugged apparel.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Like a big sort of duffel coat or something.
Top range duffel coat. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, our workwear is not quite as rugged as the workwear they sell, I guess.
No.
I just find the closest jumper to my hand and put that on.
Fair enough. Very wise, Steve. Right then. So, I mean, how might one sort of stake sensible? So without laying too much with the potential for a nice fat win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the king of sensibility these days, and I'm aware that when you've got three
golf tournaments... You will never be the king of sensibility, Steve, I'm afraid.
So. Well, I'm certainly aware of the downfall of being the opposite. And if you've got three golf tournaments, if you have singles in all the players, it can get very, big outlet. So, yeah, I wouldn't turn my nose up at someone saying I'm just going to have each way trebles this week. Because, that's okay. 24 trebles. 24 each way trebles on the nine selections. Get as many each way places as you can, and then if you get three of them placed, you're in business.
It's 48. So if you're doing it for say 50p, it's going to cost you 24 quid. 48 bets, isn't it? Each way.
48 lines. As
two
they say,
by yeah. yeah, 2 by 3 by 4 is 24, and then you've got the win and the place, so that's 48. So if you're doing it for 25 pence, it will cost you 12 quid. And if you got three winners, that would come to money, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think multiples are the way to play these
if
ones.
If people were only going to have one win bet or one each way bet on a single player, who would your sort of nap of the week be?
I can't see Patrick Cantlay failing to get out of his group. So I think Patrick Cantlay is going to go deep in the match play. I'd probably have to lean towards him, even though match play got so crazy. So yeah, Cantlay and Detry are probably the two best ones.
Jolly good. Okay. Anything else to report in life? Any other news?
No. Just going to go and work on my itchy nose now.
And hopefully that will have stopped itching by the time we reconvene next Tuesday to discuss the Valero Texas Open and the Orlando, Live Golf. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much to our lovely producer, Will Carey. Most of all, thank you for watching The Sweet Spot. Good luck with your bets this week. Back next Tuesday.